Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it, breathe me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton Rouge, boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday except holidays at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on this wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259, and you can text us powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And like I said, it's always a pleasure to be here to have a wonderful dialogue with so many people that calls in who do a tremendously great job. I want to say I appreciate you, and I want to say thanks to each and every one of you as I travel through the country. Some people just hear my voice and they'll ask me, is that you, Rudy, who is on the radio? It's just amazing, you know. I'm really, really appreciative of each and every one of you. I'm glad that you guys really like what I'm doing for the country, and you guys are also contributing to making the changes to our country. Today's show, we're going to talk about some of the topics in the news and also on social media. Tonight, we'll talk about what is a good person and a great leader who cares about the people and is willing to get rid of corruption. Because nowadays in this world today, there ain't too much good people who are in power. They may seem good, but if there's corruption in just about every department in your government and you're doing little or it's not too concerning, like it's not a red flag. There are a lot of corruption going on in our country in the immigration department, as we just saw, where immigration officers, you know, rob some people inside their house, you know, very physical with these individuals. Last week, I had on a tremendously brave young gentleman by the name of Chris Butler, who was telling us his experience, his life experience, and his experience behind prison bars, where he spent 12 years. And if you listen, he gave us a great inside understanding of what goes on in our prison and what we need to do to fix the problem. And he gave us a mouthful. So we get to prison, we get the immigration. Now we have this voice note circling again about a senior police officer who just recently was promoted giving up threats against a fellow officer who was doing his job. And it surprises me that the leaders of this country is not in an uproar based on all the corruption that is happening with our government agencies in the country, and especially the ones that are supposed to protect and serve us. I don't understand. It's like, it's just normal. But this is a very dangerous situation where we have those who are sworn to uphold the law are actually the lawbreakers. So in the Bahamas, as we speak right now, there are so many people asking so many questions concerning the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Now, mind you, we have many great police officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I can give you names all day who are decent police officers who do their job diligently. But on the other hand, we have some officers who are on the force and they use their position of power knowing they have immunity to do illegal activities. And it was covered up for so long in this country. And we've been seeing senior officers from different divisions who are being charged or being investigated or being put on this thing we call garden leave. And the evidence or what we should say, the investigation isn't looking too good for them as members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we are not being addressed by members of the government, especially the Minister of National Security, when he's just saying that's one bad apple. But there are many bad apples that are surfacing. And these bad apples are doing some treasonous crimes. They are not guilty right now because they have not been fully prosecuted before the court. But the news and the voice notes, it has to be some truth to it. And it seems basically what we just had a few weeks ago where there was an investigation going on with three young gentlemen who were shot and killed by police officers. These officers were brought before the coroner's court and they were found not liable. So that investigation was squashed. And one of these officers who was acquitted in the investigation, not a week later, there's a voice note circling with the same particular officer involved in drug dealing, even threats of death against a fellow police officer. So you can imagine what is going on in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So all those decent officers out there, I'm really sorry for you guys, because all y'all are going to be branded. You guys are going to be branded. And I think the force needs to have private investigation team of private citizens with police who investigate officers who names are being implicated in these voice notes, and also to do background checks on officers who the general public is going to complaints unit to report certain officers about their conduct. But it seems to be like the powers to be delays the process. And I think now as Bahamians, we have seen that, you know, just 2 weeks ago, the investigation with three officers, we saw where the forensic officer, he testified that two particular shells, he didn't say this a few years ago, but now he was before the court and he swore. And then we talk about two shell casings that were not police issued shell casing, meaning that the shell casing they found on the ground is not police issued shell casing for the ammunition that they give to their officers once they leave out of the police station. But then he came back on the stand again after cross examination from the defense, a lawyer, Mr. Kelsey Monroe, and that officer retracted his statement, saying that, you know, he made a mistake. And to the general public, even though these officers were acquitted, to us, it seems to be a cover-up from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Don't care you put it. Even though these officers were acquitted, to the general public, they're guilty. To the general public, they're saying that the police is covering up for fellow officers. But you see what happened the following week, right after that, they were just acquitted. Now this officer's name get called up again. And he was promoted to inspector. Why is this investigation was going on with the same particular officer? So it seems to me that, and it seems to everyone else out there, that there are many senior officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who are doing illegal activities in the country, whether it's selling drugs, whether it's taking someone's lives, whether it's being bribed to let known criminals who, if the police did their proper procedure, would actually be in jail. But the police themselves are taking bribes and releasing guys, hiding evidence, not showing up to court, and also telling persons who are before the court who the witnesses are. And might be responsible for witness who want to see justice lose their lives or get threatened. So this is a very serious matter. But before we begin our show, I want to show you what true leadership is, and this is what we got to look for in the country. And if we want to make change, just listen to this clip. We have a call on the line, but we ain't even started the show yet. So what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to this clip about this great African leader who learned, but he learned from the past of leaders when one of the great leaders of his country were killed by one of his best friends. And now he is taking on the mantle, that same mentality, to better his country. So we want to play that clip, if we could. Can we play it?
Burkina Faso has just made history. President Ibrahim Traoré has announced that all taxes on businesses, salaries, and foreign investments will be eliminated, turning the country into Africa's first tax-free nation. In his powerful statement, Traoré declared, "For too long, my people have struggled under heavy taxes while foreign corporations drained Africa's wealth. From today, Burkina Faso will be the land of financial freedom. No more taxes, only prosperity." Why did Traoré take this bold step? Attracting global investors. With zero taxes, Burkina Faso is expected to become a magnet for billionaires, tech companies, and entrepreneurs worldwide. Empowering citizens. Workers will keep 100% of their earnings, while businesses will grow without financial restrictions, ending Western control. Traoré believes that taxation has been a tool of neocolonialism, keeping African nations dependent on foreign aid. Western leaders are furious. The European Union and the U.S. Treasury Department are outraged, warning that Burkina Faso is now a financial black hole that will destroy the Western-controlled tax system. A leaked U.S. government memo states, "If Africa adopts a tax-free system, global corporations will abandon us and shift their wealth to Burkina Faso. This is an economic threat. Elon Musk and billionaires are moving to Burkina Faso." The announcement has already caught the attention of top billionaires like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and African business tycoons, who are now considering moving their headquarters to Burkina Faso. Musk tweeted, "A tax-free African nation? This is revolutionary. Might build a Tesla factory there." How will Burkina Faso survive without taxes? Many are asking, how will the country function if there are no taxes? Traoré has an answer. Wealth from natural resources, gold, uranium, and rare minerals, will fully fund public services. A booming private sector will create millions of jobs, making Burkina Faso an African Dubai. foreign investments and tourism will skyrocket, bringing in more money than taxes ever could. African nations are inspired. Is this the start of a financial revolution? Following Traoré's move, several African leaders have expressed interest in studying Burkina Faso's tax-free model. Some say this could mark the beginning of Africa's economic independence from Western financial systems. What's next? The first tax-free business licenses will be issued next month. Western nations are considering economic sanctions to stop this trend. Billionaires from around the world are flying to Burkina Faso to explore new opportunities.
And this gentleman, he is doing a tremendously great job in his country. And he's also influencing other African countries to be self-sustainable. And if he has a crime problem in his country, he will be able to eradicate it because with no taxes, that means the poor now can save more, bet the investment of tractors, new roads, new businesses, the economy will grow. People who didn't have no future but start to see their future. And we need leaders like that who are willing to understand what the nation needs and come up with their own strategy and apply it. You know, I want to give a shout out to my good friend Elroy Bryce and his boy Marcus Pratt. Enough respect to these gentlemen. Elroy Bryce is my boy. You know, he changed around his life now. He's doing some great things for his family, you know. He's taking care of his family. I respect a man who takes care of his family, you know. And again, to Marcus Pratt. Yeah, so I just wanted to play that to show you that this gentleman is changing the narrative of his country, changing the way how his people think, and he's pulling his people together, but he's also inspiring other African nations to do the same, because if you want to see a better country, you have to invest more in your people. Okay? We can play that, and I want you to listen to the second one, and this is where I want to say how he's dealing with corruption. We could play the second one.
Inside the Kosiam Palace, President Ibrahim Traoré sat in his office late at night. He didn't need coffee. His eyes were wide open, his mind sharp like a blade. He could feel something was off. The silence was too perfect. The smiles in his meetings were too forced. That's when a small envelope arrived. No name, no stamp, just four words written in rushed handwriting. Be careful. It's inside. Traoré opened it and found a piece of paper with a list of names, all from the military. Some he trusted. Some were even part of his inner team. But what was this? The next morning, he called Captain Naba Zongo, the same young officer who helped uncover the spy months ago. Zongo, he said, I need you again. Quietly. No one must know, not even the generals. Zongo saluted. Yes, Mr. President Traoré, handed him the list. These names, follow them. Don't question, just observe. We're walking into something big. Zongo nodded. And if I find something? Don't report by phone. Come to me directly. This is not just politics. Zongo disappeared into the shadows. He changed his clothes, used a false name, and moved like a ghost. He didn't trust anyone, not even fellow officers. He started watching one name from the list. Colonel Dabiré, commander of the 3rd Infantry. Dabiré was a respected man, brave, smart. But something wasn't right. Zongo followed him to a quiet compound on the edge of the city. No guards, no official vehicles. Just four men in military clothes meeting behind closed doors. He took photos from the roof. He recorded parts of their conversation through a crack in the window. He couldn't believe what he heard. The president moves too fast. He cut the foreign deals. Now the funding is low. If we don't act soon, we lose everything. Another voice replied, then we move before the independence celebration. Strike once, no mistakes. We remove him. The country stabilizes. Foreign support comes back. Zongo's heart dropped. They were planning a coup. Captain Naba Zongo didn't waste a second. He returned to the palace before sunrise, walking past guards who didn't know the storm he was carrying in his bag. The photos, the recordings, and the names of men ready to bring down the country from the inside. President Ibrahim Traoré was already awake, standing on the balcony, watching the dark sky turn gray. Zongo saluted, handed him the files, and said quietly, "It's real, sir. They're planning to remove you before the independence celebration. They've already picked a replacement." Traoré didn't flinch. He opened the file slowly, studied each face, and listened to the recorded voices like a hunter studying his prey. Then he said, "We don't panic. We prepare." He called a secret meeting, not in the palace, but in an abandoned command post outside the city. Only 5 people were invited. No phones, no communication, not even his own guards knew where he was going. Inside that dusty old room, he laid out the evidence on a wooden table. "These men are not just rebels," he said. "They are trained officers. Some of them fought beside me, some I shared meals with. And now, they are planning to stab the country in the back." One general shook his head. "We can arrest them now." "No," Traoré replied. "If we move too early, we catch the foot soldiers. But the mind behind this, he will run." Zongo leaned forward. "You think there's someone higher?" "I know there is," Traoré said. "Colonel Dabiré is not smart enough to plan this alone. Someone else is pulling the strings." They all went quiet. Traoré's eyes narrowed. "We let them go ahead, just far enough. Then we strike." For the next 5 days, the president lived a double life. In public, he gave speeches, shook hands, and smiled for the cameras. But behind the scenes, he was moving his loyal forces, checking weapons, and locking down key places, the airport, the national radio station, the barracks. Zongo infiltrated deeper. He followed the coup plotters as they met foreign-looking men late at night. He watched money being exchanged, big amounts. He heard one of them say, "Once the president is gone, France will return. Everything will go back to normal." Zongo almost burst in that night, but he remembered the president's order. Not yet. On the 6th day, Traoré got the message he had been waiting for. The coup leaders planned to make their move on Sunday night, just before the flag-raising ceremony. They would strike during a fake training drill. One of the generals had already moved loyal troops to surround the palace. And the one behind it all? His name appeared in Zongo's final report. Someone no one expected. Someone right next to the president. The name in Zongo's final report hit like thunder. General Yacouba Seré, one of the most respected officers in the country. A man the public admired. A man who stood beside President Traoré during speeches, military parades, and national events. Traoré sat alone in his office, holding the file in both hands. His jaw was tight. His eyes didn't blink. Of all people, Seré? They had shared a tent in battle, eaten from the same pot in the bush, fought side by side during the uprising. When Traoré rose to power, it was Seré who stood by him on the balcony, raising his fist to the crowd. Now he was the one trying to tear it all down. The betrayal burned deep. Captain Zongo stood silently nearby, waiting. He could see the weight in the president's eyes. But Traoré didn't break. He didn't speak with emotion. He stood up and said, "Prepare for Operation Storm Night." That evening, inside the underground war room, the trusted team gathered. A full map of Ouagadougou was spread on the table. Lights marked key spots. The palace, military base, radio tower, airport, and the secret house where the coup leaders would meet. Traoré looked at each face in the room. His voice was calm but sharp. "We let them believe they've already won. Tomorrow night, they will move, but we'll be waiting. No escape, no warning. This must be clean and quiet. Burkina Faso must wake up in peace." Zongo pointed to a small square near the outskirts. "General Seré will be here with Colonel Dabiré and the others. If we capture him, we end the plan at its head." The team nodded. Traoré added one more order. "Capture, do not kill. I want the people to see with their own eyes who betrayed them." The night before the coup, Traoré slept only 1 hour. He wore plain clothes and drove himself to the command point. No one recognized him in the dark. No sirens, no guards, just him and the truth. At 11:47 p.m., the fake training drill began. Soldiers loyal to Seré moved toward the palace, but they were met with confusion. All the gates were already under tight control. Guards who were supposed to be part of the coup were quietly replaced the day before. At 12:08 a.m., the coup leaders arrived at their secret meeting point and walked into a trap. Zongo led the unit. "Down! On your knees! Drop your weapons!" Dabire reached for his gun, but was tackled to the ground. Sere raised his hands slowly, his face pale. He had no fight left. "You?" he said, looking at Zongo. "You were the shadow." "No," Zongo replied. "I was the mirror. You betrayed yourself." By dawn, the streets of Ouagadougou were calm. The sun rose like any other day. Shops opened. Children walked to school. Radios played soft music. But behind the scenes, the country had escaped disaster. In a single night, President Ibrahim Traoré had stopped a full-blown military coup. Not with loud force, but with quiet precision. The coup leaders were taken to a secure location, far from the city. No public noise, no media alerts. The people didn't even know what had happened. Not yet, but Traoré knew he couldn't keep it hidden for long. At 7:30 a.m., he walked into the press room at the Kosiam Palace, dressed in his army uniform, no suit, no ceremony. His face was calm, but serious. Cameras flashed. Journalists sat up straighter. He spoke slowly. "Last night, your country was almost taken from you," he began. "A small group of men, trained, armed, and dressed like patriots, tried to undo everything we've built." The room went silent. "They didn't come from outside," he said. "They came from within, from our own ranks, from people who smiled at us during the day, but plotted our downfall at night." He paused. "But they forgot one thing. Burkina Faso is not for sale, not to old powers, not to money, not to fear." A few reporters had tears in their eyes. Some were frozen in shock. "Those behind this plot have been arrested. They will face justice, not because we seek revenge, but because we must protect truth. We must protect the people." Outside, the crowd was growing. People had begun to hear. Whispers turned into questions. Questions turned into anger. Then came cheers. Traoré ended his speech with one powerful line. "You cannot kill a tree that has roots in the people. I serve the people. I stand with the people. And I will fall with the people. But I will never fall for the enemy." That day, across social media, images of the president standing firm went viral. No one expected such calm leadership. No one expected the president to be 10 steps ahead. In the afternoon, he visited the army headquarters and spoke to the loyal soldiers. "You held the line," he told them. "You didn't join the darkness. And because of that, the light still shines." He gave each of them a small pin, the symbol of the revolution, a black star on red. "These men tried to use your uniforms to betray your country, but today your uniform stands for courage." Meanwhile, the people had just one question on their lips. How did he know? The answer was even more shocking. While the country celebrated and foreign news began to report what had happened in Ouagadougou, only a few people knew the full truth behind how the plot was stopped in time. It wasn't just the list in the envelope. It wasn't just Captain Zongo's brilliant fieldwork. There was someone else, someone deep inside the shadows, a man no one had seen, a man even the coup plotters trusted. He was the final piece of the puzzle. President Traoré sat in a private room with Zongo, going over the files one last time. There was one name Zongo had left out of the reports, one name he gave directly to the president in a sealed file. "He was one of them," Zongo said. "But he came to me." Traoré raised an eyebrow. "You mean he switched sides?" Zongo nodded. "He was promised a new life in Europe. They said they would give him a house, a salary, everything, if the coup worked. But he couldn't do it. He said, 'I believe in Traoré more than I believe in Paris.'" Traoré didn't smile. He just leaned forward and opened the file. Sergeant Karim Sawadogo, an ordinary soldier in the 3rd Infantry. No rank, no medals. But he had been in every meeting, heard every plan. He kept notes, recorded voices, and passed them on secretly to Zongo while risking his own life. "He could have escaped," Zongo said. "He could have let it happen. But he chose to serve the truth." Traoré nodded slowly. "Bring him to me." That evening, the young sergeant entered the president's office nervously. He was sweating, his hands stiff by his sides. Traoré walked over and placed a hand on his shoulder. "You didn't have to do what you did," he said quietly. You had every reason to stay silent, but you stood up for your country. Karim's voice was soft. You once said in a speech, the fight for Africa is not for the loud ones, it's for the loyal ones. That stayed in my heart. Traoré looked him in the eye. You've done more for this country in silence than others have done with loud speeches. He handed him a new rank badge. From today, you're no longer a hidden soldier. You are a protector of the people. Karim saluted with tears in his eyes, but not everyone was crying for joy. The foreign powers who backed the coup were embarrassed. They denied everything. They said Burkina Faso is imagining things. But they knew their plan had failed. And the man who ruined their plan, a young soldier, a quiet officer, and a president who refused to bow. But the fight was not over. The people of Burkina Faso had been saved this time. But how many other plans were hiding in the dark? President Traoré made a decision that night. No more surprises. No more shadows. He would clean the system from top to bottom. And he would start with the ones wearing uniforms and hiding knives behind their backs. The days that followed were not quiet. The failed coup had left a crack in the system. And President Ibrahim Traoré was not going to let that crack grow into a wound. He didn't wait for the dust to settle. One by one, he summoned every senior officer, every regional commander, every high-ranking bureaucrat in the security system. No more hiding, no more pretending. Each one was asked a simple question. Where were you the night the country almost died? Some answered with pride, some with shame. A few stayed silent. But Ibrahim was not hunting for revenge. He was hunting for truth. He formed a new committee, led by Captain Zongo, and a team of trusted civilians. Teachers, lawyers, retired officers, even market leaders, people with no loyalty to titles, only to justice. They were given full power to investigate corruption and loyalty in every department of the armed forces. The streets of Ouagadougou watched in amazement. Officers who...
Okay, y'all get where you're coming from? That's where I'm coming from. That gentleman, that captain, he is a real leader. He is leading by example, and he's leading the world when it comes to how a country should run. And the corruption that was in his government, even though he is helping the people, he's concerned about the people. This guy don't take a salary. This guy takes the same salary, captain's salary. He talk about the guys in the uniform who are starving. The nation in the back are these same police officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They're starving the Bahamian people in their box. And our politicians are right there with them because we have not seen their internal investigation. Yes, Mr. Travis did a wonderful job, but he knows what he did. He didn't let it stay in the dust. We've had corruption after corruption after corruption after corruption. All we get is one bad apple. All we get is they're on administrative leave. Huh? And if you listen to these voice note Bahamian people, these guys are treason to the country, okay? We need people who we can appoint as an independent body who can go to these corrupt officers. I'm not talking about the good police officers. You are not including this. Okay? The bad apples has messed this country right up. There are officers doing their job right now, attacking us, investigating murder cases, traffic stops, you know, doing what they need to do in order to keep the country functional. But on the other hand, to the very top, we get senior officers involved in illegal drug trafficking, murder, conspiracy to commit murder, maybe murder, firearms, selling fire. Man, this is crazy. And yet still, we see the country locked down and turn an investigation team that can go and take these officers' gun. I mean, like, if they're living wherever they're living, and they're mentioned, There's supposed to be a team of people who are there to give warrants for these officers to go in. We laid them up their firearms. We can't leave this up to the police tribunal because a lot of people are saying that they protect one another. We had the former, we had the now Minister of National Security, Vian Monroe. When he was in opposition, he said that he's on his own mode, that he don't think the police can investigate the police. But now he's the Minister of National Security. This is not taking a shot at the Progressive Liberal Party, no. This is a national thing I'm talking about, that two parties, the Free National Movement and the PLP, have allowed to occur on the Royal Bahamas Police Force because they manipulate the system by giving people ranks when they truly don't deserve it. We have decent police officers who are qualified for this job and are the ones for this position. But because of the political manipulation, these officers are denied promotion. And because they denied promotion, these might be the decent, honest police officers. But they are set who get this position, and they truly don't deserve it. Because I don't understand how someone could be in an investigation, get charged for murder by manslaughter, and still get promoted. It doesn't make no sense. It means it does not make no sense. How you get promoted? Why is you on the investigation? Why is you're not criminally charged with a case, but you're on the investigation by the coroner's court, and they find you guilty, but it's not a criminal case, but it's going to be passed to the DDP, okay? And yet still. And all we are seeing is delay. It ain't right. It ain't right in this country, man. We are corrupted bad, you know? We corrupted bad people. It ain't fair. It ain't fair for us as citizens, you know? It ain't fair. When these officers get charged, when guys on the streets commit murder, they get charged with murder. But when the law enforcement, who are corrupt, involved in these murders that get investigated, and if they get bring guilty, they never get bring guilty for murder. What is murder? Is it murder, the civilian murder, different from the police murder? When a civilian murder, it is murder, first degree murder. But when the police murder in the line of duty and they plant weapons, they lie about the incident, and yet still they still protect it. It ain't right. It is not right. It's not right. It's not right for us in this country. It ain't right. It ain't right. It ain't right. We should be ashamed. I just want to read something what the opposition leader, one of the opposition leaders, Free National Movement Chairman, Dr. Dwayne Sands, renewed the party's call for a commission of inquiry. See, Mr. Dwayne Sands, you was the next bull poison, because what is happening now in this government been happening in the Free National Movement government, because y'all was in charge of the police too. And y'all had y'all commission of police who was the Free National Movement. So you, yourself, Mr. Dwayne Sand, all y'all responsible for the corruption going on in the police force. Because when a lot of corruption was going on under y'all, when the behemoth people were complaining about the police, some of the police officers doing their job diligently. And then you had a lot who were violating people, and people made complaints by the complaints unit. Hundreds of behemoth people complaining about certain officers. There was nothing done. So what you expect the police officer to do? Well, man, we protected. Huh? They protected by a system that you guys gonna have to break. Officers need to get locked up, put before the court, effective immediately. If they investigated, that their finances should be checked out. See how much money they accumulated. How would they get to accumulate this money? Now, they could do it legit by owning their own business and stuff like that. Yeah, that's good. I'm not talking about that. But if there's some discrepancy and how much money they accumulate in that 30 years or 25 years or 40 years they do in the Royal Bahamas Police, that can't be disputed, because when drug dealers were selling drugs, the government itself came up with an idea to confiscate drug dealers' assets. So what's the difference? What is this? Man, we have heard of so many officers and defense force officers having big houses and involved. You know what I mean? The talks is out there. You know? And none is being done to investigate none of these officers. So, and these officers seems to be the biggest set of drug dealers in the country. And the biggest gangsters. Because they also, if you look at Johnson, you know, he was willing to take a bribe. How many bribes he took before this? How many guilty people who robbed or murdered and they heard that these individuals get a couple dollars? They rather go to these individuals, tax these individuals for $50,000 or $100,000, and they would let them walk by hiding evidence. Huh? And each one of those individuals who got charged under Johnson, like I always said this, can go if they have the right lawyers and win their case and file a lawsuit. Because if Johnson is brought guilty, in my book, I see it happen in the states. They're investigating officers who get bring guilty for certain crimes. All of their cases are under review. So there's a lot of people who can, who probably guilty. Some of these people could be guilty of their crime, but they could use the excuse of Johnson and put all of us in danger because, like I said, if he's persecuted and he loses the case, a lot of people can sue because he is not credible. You know, he's taking bribes as an officer. This is some serious stuff. So all those inmates, some people who even sentenced can question the judiciary system if they were under Johnson, why they get locked up in CDU. They could say, well, I get beat or I was forced to sign a statement, and these things can be held up. And also a lot can sue the government, bring their case back up, and they could be backlogged now for the next 30, 40 years. You know? Anyway, I'm going to take this one call. Call out here on the lines on Guardian Radio.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Scoogey, sorry, man, Scoogey. I didn't realize I called so early, man.
Go ahead, brother. No problem.
But listening to you on the phone, I couldn't just sign up because I just
wanted. No problem, man. No problem. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Right. Man. But hey, Scoogey, everything which you said, every word which you said, everyone, right? It's something so blatant, right? We know the corruption is so high in this country, right? And if we as behemoths don't start calling it out for what we know and see in the list, not pretending that and hoping that it ain't that, right? We know the corruption going on in this country, but do we, the behemoth people who are not a part of this corruption, we have to stand up collectively to try to send a message to these people with because, Scoogey, man, we are in so much problems in this town, man. It is unbelievable, Scoogey. Scoogey, I could just slide off a little bit when it comes to, I don't know.
Right? Talk yourself.
Scoogey, we have 5,000 children coming out of school every year, right, Scoogey?
Yes.
Or allegedly, or 6,000 around a day about, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I hope people doing this calculation. Now, watch this now, Scoogey. Every month, right? Every month, you have like, let's say, every week, you have like, how much? 900 persons coming into our country every week, right? 9 and 9 is what? That's 36.
36, yeah.
Right? 3,600 people coming into our country every month, right? And then you add 36 and 36, right? That's 70 what?
70,000?
That's That's like 74 or something, 100 people coming in every 2 months.
7,400.
Right? I'm just trying to give you a... I'm just trying to give you a rough estimate, right?
Oh, how much people coming in the country?
If we have like let's say 7,000 people coming into our country looking for work every month and every 2 months in our country, and 6 months that end up the 21,000 people coming into our country, but we graduating or we sending out 5,000 students, right, to go look for a job, where we encouraging in that same job market 22,000 or more people looking for the same job. We looking for and we wondering why we can't find jobs. Kuji, we in problems, Kuji.
Kuji,
please, I need you to address this matter on your talk shows, because Kuji, the alarm need to be set. We are being invaded, Kuji. Why we having crime and our beliefs and our governments them doing what they doing? If everything starts from the head, Kuji.
Yes, you know, sir.
If we are, see the video with you, the voice what you just was put, what you had on just a while ago with the Abraham Toure guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Simple. Kuji, that young gentleman is the perfect example to a leader.
That's right.
Would want to see change in the country, Kuji.
Yes.
I mean, come on, and it's so obvious. What the young gentleman did in 3 years, we still trying to get done in 51 years.
You see that?
Huh?
You see that?
And all that's saying to us is the only thing stopping it from happening to us is corruption.
That's right.
Because this guy all about no corruption.
Corruption, right.
Right? So once corruption is moved out of the way, Scoogee,
we'd see a better Bahamas.
How beautiful the Bahamas could be, Scoogee.
We'd see a better Bahamas.
Huh?
We'd see a better Bahamas.
You see that? Look how beautiful the Bahamas could be if we could move this corruption out of the way. And who pushing this corruption? The same people for the last 50 years,
right?
We have the colonists still running the country, and they still powering the political leaders. And we still in the old time in this country. We need a Abraham Toure, and I believe we get one, Scoogee, right? But it's up. You still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. I can't tell you. You're making good sense.
We have a young man, right? We have a young man in this country what really love this country and the Bahamian people in the name of Lincoln Bain, Scoogee. People, they ain't gonna like the yellow, at least from
PFPs
and FNMs. They ain't gonna like the yellow, But see, what we see going on right now, Scoogee, we need young people would seriously love this country and have a vision it like a Abraham Toure, right? Look what's going on in Africa. They toppling all of these ancient leaders who had been there from before half of the population was born. Right? Because the people tired. They didn't see we can't go no further with this ideal. What these people are presenting to us.
No.
It's the same old roundabout situation.
Yes.
Huh? But corruption is the only problem we have in this country.
Yes. It's bright as day. Listen, man, every time you see a senior officer, and there's no persecution.
That's simply because if the head, see, these guys don't run the country,
No.
They wait for the people who run the country.
Yes, and they protect them.
If the head don't like corruption, you think these guys can be... Scoogee, you was talking about how these police officers and defense officers and drug dealers get these big homes, right? But then look at our leaders, them would just walk inside our House of Assembly with no money or focus about, and then in 4 or 5 years, right, they living in a million-dollar house. And there's no way the salary what these people obtain in 20 years could build a house. Dying corruption?
It's past corruption.
All right. So when the people who looking down, when the people who have to look up to this corruption see this corruption, man, they got it. I mean, what is the example being set to say, look, like, you boy, my boss, I can't let my boss know I corrupt. When the guy can say, man, my boss is corrupt, so I gotta get my ex too.
Man, you don't hear on the voice note what was going around on social media. You don't hear the officer threatening the next officer. You don't listen. He ready to gun the next officer down.
And you
say how serious and what surprised me, not saying cutting you off, right?
Yes.
The new commissioner of police, she is completely quiet.
Quiet.
You know, this I'm just saying this, and I can let you get back to what you were saying. Listen to me. This is no disrespect to the first female commissioner of police.
No.
But she herself have been there when corruption was going on, and she turning in a blind eye to some of the things that going on in the force herself. She need to get it right.
Yeah.
You understand? Because on her watch, these things are still happening. So that means there are no major changes in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. If we have officers think they are immune to a prosecution without no one, without them being able to get a reprimand, you know,
yeah.
I think, and this last thing I'm going to say.
Appreciate something, Scoogey, right?
Yeah.
The only way we could get what you just said when it relates to the commissioner of police, right?
Mm-hmm.
If corruption didn't see, Coogee, I want you to keep going
there,
right back to death. If corruption appointing people to stop corruption, how is the corruption?
It's not going to stop.
Huh?
It's not going to stop.
I hope the Bahamian people listening, you know, because
it's not going to stop.
If corruption is appointing corruption, how corruption going to stop?
It will not get worse. That's what happened to us now. We're getting worse.
What happened?
Yes. Yes, that's why
we can't have the leaders who we know or allegedly involved in things that is corrupt, and then all of a sudden it's like you know, like oh, I hear one guy said, right, it's like how the English people them with us in slavery, right, and then
you said that
can help us, right now. We had to been under the whip to believe that these same people would show us all this hate can give us something to help us. Really?
Yeah.
No, man. That's brainwash.
Yes.
You see, so we have to wake up in this country, man. Our leaders, Scoogey, are our problem.
Yes.
And that voice, I mean, and that video, whatever you played today, that young man is shaming all
leaders around the world.
Leaders all around the world.
Yes. Yes. And you see how much people are trying to cause coup because the man is standing for what's right.
For the people.
You see?
Huh?
He even his best friend, you see that? And that happened before in the same country. You see?
Huh?
And that happened. You understand?
The only thing really saving this guy right now
is Russia.
Is Russia.
Yes.
Because if Russia was in Iran, America and France then was going to eliminate him.
Yes.
A long time.
Yes.
But see, again, we have to get rid of these old puppets who we was putting in our governments,
yeah.
Right, and identifying them as people were trying to
yes.
transform the country.
True.
When we for 51 years, we ain't seen no transformation.
No.
So that means these people are puppets.
Yes, they
because,
are.
Because the example is right in Africa.
Yes. It is. And I just want to say this also.
I mean, man, that's a puppet situation,
yes.
Man. Well, Scoogey.
Yeah, man.
That's why we live in this town.
That's how we live in corruption to the fullest.
Corruption to the fullest. But
yes.
I can go right now.
Okay.
We, as the Bahamian people, we got to wake up and realize that
it's up to
our
us.
Next generation can't fight this battle, what is starting. Our children and our grandchildren, they can't fight this.
They can't fight this because they could be too poor. They could be too poor.
Too poor and too outnumbered.
And too outnumbered.
Get that part.
Yes, yes.
Too
yes.
poor
and too outnumbered.
And too outnumbered.
Yes.
Right? And we ain't just outnumbered with the Haitians. We outnumbered with all type of other nationalities on top of the Haitians.
Who come for dollar for dollar.
So So if these people decide to collaborate their efforts against a Lisbon, man, we can't be doing the things what we're doing, no. Talking, but praise the Lord and hallelujah. When we understand that these people are of the agenda.
No Christian nation, man. If we a Christian nation, all this corruption going on with the release was, how much pastors speaking out on it? Because a lot of these...
You are quite the other.
You know, they're in all seriousness. All these allegations are true. We might not be able to prove it right now, but this investigation going on, starting from the officers who get charged in America, you know, that's how come all these drug busts are happening right now in the country, is because the information he give.
Yeah, man. This country been known for this, man.
Yeah.
And then, you know... We have some people that take it up a notch every time they get in power, but it never does stop.
No, that's what, right? I said.
But we just have to. We have to be more concerned about the growth.
Yes, of the corruption.
Commonwealth to the Bahamas,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
As Bahamans, we have to make that a number one concern, like the people in Burkina Faso and Mali.
Yes. Well, anyway, thank you, man. You did a wonderful job. I just like to add this on to also with the caller saying. He's calling. He's give some great, great comments. A lot of these police, you know, who are getting charged for certain things in the country and et cetera, I think we have to be able to discuss this to the general public. We need to hear a statement from the Commissioner of Police in reference to these matters. We need to hear a statement from the Minister of National Security on what is the next step on reforming the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because it ain't getting no better, it get worse. Okay? We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City.
Give thanks and praise.
Hey, what did you say, 50 though?
It's a curse.
Yes.
It can only get worse.
Yes.
Oh, God bless the man, cursed and God in heaven and earth. But excuse me.
Yes, sir.
You know, I can't go against what you're saying, because we're witnessing it, and they're trying to gaslight us with photographic psychological operations, right? In which, once you wear that uniform, you're infallible, and that's the way they think, right?
Yes.
So I'll get this one over quick. But, you know, the gentleman who called in, I always like to hear his contribution.
Yeah,
he's a soldier, man. He can't deny what he's saying.
Yeah,
you're on
the
ground,
yeah.
Umar Scusi, right?
Yeah.
Now, being in the city, and, you know, Scusi, the things that you're doing, I mean, the people in here, you got to appreciate you, man. But, you know, as old as me and you is right now, right, Scusi?
Yes, sir.
We can see the deterioration, right?
Yeah,
even
man,
in the yards and the houses around the areas, right? The physical deterioration, you know, like when you're going up, these areas to be cleaning, you forget it.
Yes, sir.
To be the Palm Tree Avenue right down East Street, and you're walking from St. John's, everything was normal.
All our morals going on.
It's a moral decay, and then there's a physical
decay.
Environmental decay, the aesthetics, whatever it is, you know what I mean? I can play with this with me, but now I'm very vexed. I don't even want to talk with the police force, because it's a lost situation, it's a lost cause. What I'm saying is, I'm 60, right? You and I know that even as certain things happen, we could go from Marcel to Bradley Taylor, who get turned over by the FBI, never reached the station, and the story was given. We don't even know if it was a car's inquest or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it be. It's all a kangaroo system. We could go on and on.
Yes.
I could do a chronology. But one of the things I'm also appalled about is doing the Nanada shooting, right? I don't know if you're following the case. You remember the Nanada shooting at the Pink House or whatever it was?
You mean with the three guys?
With Jamal, I don't know them.
Yeah, Tony Penson.
Yeah,
Jamal Smith. That's Tony Penson, Jamal Smith.
Yeah, but, you saw that the detailed accounts of the 10-year-old was completely ignored.
Yeah, I mean, he said that.
And now, post looking into these dubious injustices, right? We see the kangaroo court say, the guy recanted his statement, right?
That's a big mistake. Chibi didn't say it at all. Chibi didn't stick what he was saying.
Yeah, but that loads, you know, Scusi, man.
That
you know,
convinces.
Please watch the movies, all right? You're saying then the guy, there's a police officer, say he defected to the States, he ran a scenario for what happened in Inspector Blatch.
Yeah.
Right? So we look at all of these, a chronology of all of these things. We know about the Sonny Miller, and we hear about the voice notes not circulating,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So through the technological, see, technology has a two-edged sword, you know?
Yeah.
But you'll have professionals and pundits come on and brainwash me, and you talk about, social media. Listen to me. The same book you could go and read on Google and social media,
mm-hmm.
you could read in the classroom. But isn't it amazing that social media is convenient for them, but inconvenient for the public when it comes to people? But on social media, we would have learned a lot of things, you know, right, Scusi?
Yeah, like the voice.
So, I mean, they sound like idiots to me. And so, it's frightening for me in that it's like there's no change. But I want to run a little quick scenario as to what happened to a relative of mine, and just to give a people a little idea. Scoogey, let me say this firstly, my brother. Please, man, help me to keep my sanity. What they're saying is, post all of these incidents, these dubious injustices, right?
Mm-hmm.
The police, all right, God knows what me and you is now. The police like 50 and 2, or 50 and 1. Because, I mean, they ain't never lose none yet. You see, they saying, we get the skillet boy, Richard boy. But you know, like Papa, right? Papa
yeah.
City, hey, Papa's out law, you know.
Yeah,
listen
yeah.
to me, man, respect Papa. I ain't wearing with nobody, man. Yeah, this ghetto time talk now. Who they want to call educated and think yeah. they know you're talking with 52 this and 52 that. I don't really give, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
listen, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, man. The ghetto youth have to stand up for something, you know. Now, you know and I know, some of these youth, who they looking at is this and that. People them wearing coats who doing wastings and them on them.
Wastings.
Right?
It is evidence.
Now, let me show you a little quick fix to all of this BS, right? Post all of these things, these dubious things, right? Let me show you they don't care about us. You see any cams implemented yet?
No.
All right, so the other night, a relative of mine was stopped by some officers out in Vincent Road. You know, we grew up in Sunshine Park. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big man. It's like almost 1 o'clock in the night, but he could have been by a sweetheart. Wherever he been, right? But he in a brand new car, but he bought off the lot. So the police pull him over and say, this ain't nothing alleged now, because I ain't wearing with them. Right? Pull them over and say they doing this, just a routine check, whatever. But it be like, oh, they doing their job. Because, you know, big, bro, the people that me ain't doing nothing. So he had the papers and everything in the car and all that. So they tell him, car stolen, way. And then initially they said it ain't matching the VIN number. But what I'm saying is, my brother say, but lucky, but say, I ain't locking you all up because, I mean, you can lock me for my own car and this car, this person riding for all of these months and things, buy off the lot. So they said the one VIN number ain't matching, but some of all that was a farce. But I'm saying it was untrue, right? Yes, they lock him up. So he saw a can on bar. They said, calm down, let's we can carry to the station and we can run the check and then we can let you go. He ended up in there for a whole day, right? Just to check to see if one car stolen. Just because he tore a bar to them and they inconvenienced him. So he's saying, if you all locking me up for nothing, you want me to be humble and no say nothing. He said, you walk in there, meet one big belly inspector sitting down at the desk. The CD asking him, how come you all can lock up a 62-year-old man for your own car? And the police officer asked him something, but the police officer said, but you ain't buy that car off the lot. And tell the officers and put him in the cell. You see what they saying?
Yeah.
But nothing.
No problem,
of course.
He is not wanted. He is a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, but then they run a force and all that.
But
you want to see you and all that.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah, yeah.
These people have, what I'm saying is, this is why the camera is needed. These men are mere men. And we didn't see that some of them, you know,
that's
I like right. when the police pull over people. Because any fool who won't ride around there, I didn't even have no problem with that. Back in the days, I even didn't wear him with ride
around.
They
tried
to criminalize even smoking a giant. I know a roster man to the next road, right, Scoozy? All of these things, they are going before the courts. They got a roster man right now going to court for one giant of cannabis, brother. I could get the brother to call it. One giant of weed, this man going to court for. And the police prosecutor telling the judge, he need to go on you call it rehab and all. You can send a roster man to rehab and smoking weed. So the judge even have more sense in it because the judge saying, well, what is this all about? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, okay, Scoozy, one giant weed? In the 21st century? And these people have a pardon, love for all kind of everything cool. But another thing now, Scoozy, let me get to this quickly, man. I don't want to be on that. Listen to me.
Yeah.
All this farce about equal rights and justice for poor people, and we still going to courts without lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. Then, in order to get rid of this BS about the police beating me for a confession, right? Making them lose credence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that it just can't be real, like law and order, like a civilized society where when they question you, you have your lawyer present. Or if you can't afford a lawyer, some priest or somebody.
The court appoints you one.
To safeguard your safety, right?
Yeah.
From them putting bag over your head and doing whatever they think they could do with you. So I ain't hearing none of them. This new commissioner, what new implementation?
No.
We need the complaints of corruption. And I call the station this morning, I tell them, but Big Bro don't get any lawyer, any how? I say, man, like any how. Why don't we just move the complaints and corruption from up by that box anyway?
That's right. And put some private citizens.
I don't like that, man. That
they need private citizens.
Scusi, man, I'm so sick and tired of these people. All they running is pure talk.
Yeah.
And they think people are stupid. The ghetto youth, I'm tired of this. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. And the youth don't respect them. They weren't with me and your generation. You know, we had to respect for them. You know, when we's on the block and I'm dying there, they pass through in the bus. You buy them in case of Guinness. You do this, you do that, right? But I'm showing you 9 instances. My brethren just telling me they pull him over because they see him in the fresh one and he black, you know what I mean? So they saying he probably ain't being in this car. They pull him over saying, suspect. Yeah, they can suspect you. Police telling me light blowing. He going to say to the mechanic after that the light ain't blowing. I say, nah, that I had the conversation with him. If they ever do that to me and write me a ticket, but my light ain't waking them. I go straight. If the court open up once, white daylight, I get whatever hours of night, I trying to go straight to the court the next day and show them this thing working, because there's two things for spite, and they got this power. And so in order to check this power, all they're trying to show the powers that shouldn't be. The police need to wear cameras to be documented. And then one of my Asian brethren, tell me they turned off the camera on him that night and called in the club in the foyer area, and the people in won't give him access to the camera.
So what the Minister of National Security saying with this?
Nothing.
Saying, but listen to me, I was finished, let me finish the screen. No, listen to me. He said the footage with the police harassing, roughing up his mother, he really said slap, but I don't know, but the little girl, his little daughter-in-law is giving me a detailed account, and she only but six, and this happened in the foyer, but he's saying they wouldn't access the account, I mean, the camera, he can't get them to do it. He riled me because he want me to speak up for him, but I'm saying this, he got to call the talk show. He said, if I tell him I'll call the talk show, wait, but he's saying the camera, all this footage should be there, but what I'm saying is, these alleged things that happened. How you could do this in the front of a fellow mother? They stomp him, they beat him. I can see being bruised up and all the rave. But what I'm saying is, the injustices, right, have to be checked, Scoogey.
Yes, it has
to. We are sick and tired. And what hurts me, right? You listen to Scoogey Brown, your brethren, ready to listen to me, man. High society, I have no love for them because they don't. Let me share with them. Everybody sit and talk. You don't want to pull together. See, this everybody want to talk and talk and come together. You know, solidarity amongst the sheep, you know. And that's our problem right there, you know. That's why this is a politician's paradise up to this day, you know. Yeah. And you know, nobody want to do what they think they want to do. But listen to me. What I'm saying is, you have to give an account and the people need to come together. Yes. Because this thing over, man.
Yes.
This thing over. Now, those implementations, which you see, how come I can be getting to get interviewed by the police, but only police run, no one there for me, no lawyer there, and then the person say they forced me to say this. What that means is the person could be guilty, but they could still turn around and lie, say the police forced them.
Yep.
So in order to create this doubt and to create wasted people time and taxpayers' money, right, implement something and show people you're thinking, man. Because right now, it's very clear. They don't care about us.
No, they don't.
They really don't. And I mean, look at the inner city communities, the lack of public-private, they're talking about public-private partnership. Let's have some public-private partnership with sponsoring together, use them to try to divert their minds someplace else, man. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Enough we call.
And you know this, man, Scoochie. And you'll give thanks, man. Scoochie, man, he doesn't get changed, man.
Not,
they mind and catch the man.
Yeah, nothing
sweet. He used to talk with people, they got even, Scoochie, even as it relates to the voice notes, right? For somebody to say those kind of things alleged, you see these things on the voice notes, right?
Yeah.
That means that this person's already established as a bad man.
Yep. That he's been doing it a long time. Long time. And it's being covered up. And he's being
covered up. When I people in my eye, I was telling these men, but these things are high society.
Right.
Like, yes, but I ain't into them, you know.
Right.
Watch this country get mastered up and turn into a banana republic.
Yes.
Because they fail to do what they want to do.
Yes.
And they don't understand the benefits of superpowers to watch nations and black people to see up. These Asian people talking about they smart, they're smart, because they wouldn't be bleaching their skin, and they would be hating on beaming people them and becoming unabatedly and disrespecting beaming people. And none of them speaking out, but this, all right, you got anti-Asian rhetoric, anti-beheman rhetoric. Where does BS come from? I mean, you go up with all these Asian people in the ghetto schools. They come and you're trying to cause this unity, but I ain't them.
What
you telling me, Scoochie? We go up with all kind of Asian youth, where all this thing come from, but Asian beaming now?
Yeah.
Start some blood clean. Yeah, respect, brother.
respect. Yeah, there's a lot of people frustrated with the system. The system is failing to beam in people. The system is not for the beam in people. How it is right now, you know, it seems that the police themselves have an organization, and they protect one another, and they would put the police over the public. You know, the commission said that, you know, Shantae Knowles, she listened to the voice note and she put him on leave. She is the commissioner of police. And you're trying to tell me she ain't had intel? A guy from the States got a release, a voice note. But yet still, if I go on my phone, Johnson did it, right? But, you know, they took them, must be 6 months to see if the voice recording is he on, right? Even though he used his phone. But if Valentino Brown was to go right now, and I say to 52 by you, when I see you, boy, I could shoot you in your head, you know, bro. You understand? When I see you, I shoot you in the head now. You know? 52. Record that. Go by Central Police Station or go by CDU. And he say, man, I just get threatened. The police say, you have any evidence or anything? Well, I have a recording. This is the guy, Valentino Brown. And when he look, they look, they say, okay, let me take that. Can I use your phone for a second? When he look, they look at it. They carry it in the back. Within a couple of minutes, they know that's me. But in Johnson case, they took 6-7 months. With all the sophisticated equipment they have towards these teens about voice note, if you watch the States, if you watch United States of America, your phone is what sends you to jail. Your voice note is what sends you to jail in America. they tied you in. You was the last person called, this person, or you was the last, it has a ping on it where you was in the vicinity where the incident happened, where the murder happened, where the accident happened. You is going to get jailed by the messages you send on your phone. But yet still, it took more 6 months for our Royal Bahamas Police Force to investigate Johnson and to see if this voice note was authentic. But yet still, any BMN who send any voice note to anybody in this country threatening, within a day or two, they lock up. Curry Favor. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, peace and love, Scrooge. Peace and love, man.
Good night, brother.
Yeah, boy, I mean, with the Haitian Bahamian thing, I mean, wherever it comes from, it probably comes from us. You know, Bahamians who don't want to accept them and who make them feel like they ain't human for many, many years. You know, that kind of way. So before you talk about how they may be reacting or how they may be responding or their attitude, you need to talk about what they've been experiencing for decades in this country. You understand where I come from, Scrooge? Being treated as if they're less than human beings.
Yes,
you understand where I come from? I don't care what no one says. You know what I mean? We're all African people and any black man who living on this land, that stolen land. You know what I mean? Because if God come right now, you say, man, okay, y'all receive stolen property, man, because this land belongs to them native Indian people who live on the side. You understand? So any black man who talking with his conscience and don't have his mind focused on Africa's home, and reach that level of consciousness that he won't fight for this Bahamas when they ask. You understand where I'm coming from? This ain't our homeland, brother. You understand where I'm coming from? This ain't our homeland. And I can get in discussion with anybody because I could supplement the 52-2, but I'm waiting for a proper time. But let me say something to Scrooge. This entire country, brother, is the result of what happened when slaves are given their freedom as opposed to when they fight for it.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from? This country was doomed from the very beginning. This country was built on a foundation of sand. You understand where I'm coming from? There was no self-determination in the beginning. Nothing really changed from the start. You understand where I'm coming from? And see, so the situation in Burkina Faso, because I heard you telling the gentleman that a coup type thing happened before, so I guess you might know about Thomas Sankara.
That's what I'm talking about, right? The Thomas Sankara.
Yeah, see, so Thomas Sankara was a great man. He was also a soldier.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So the brother inside Burkina Faso probably have that spirit of Thomas Sankara.
That's right.
Thomas Sankara was a real soldier. As a soldier, you're supposed to have a mentality of defending a country, see?
Yes.
And that's what we lack as a people, see? We lack that community. We lack, like they say, look here, if I'm a lawyer, look here, I love law. I love right. You understand where I'm coming from?
True.
We don't have that standard of living. Like we just take this job where you get paid. You understand? We don't embrace the full responsibility of the occupations that we take on.
Yes.
You understand where I come from?
I understand.
And let me show you something with the force. Scrooge, I mean, because the force, the police force, I mean, you know, I mean, and they have to admit this too, because, I mean, from the outside, brother, I mean, you can look at the force and see, like it's not an institution that I would say promotes morality and integrity.
No,
in
no, it
opinion.
Does. It does
you understand?
Not.
Because look at, I mean, fraternization, right? Dating fellow workers is against policy. On the force, am I right?
Sleeping with married officer's wife.
Yeah, I mean, but your co-worker, if I go to work,
that's a lot.
I ain't supposed to be getting personal with a female on the job. You see?
Yeah.
You understand? That's fraternization.
For promotion, a lot of the females got promoted of having sex with senior officers.
Yes, you understand? But
forced to.
They were forced to.
Yes.
It is something that they didn't even check for.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? I come from school. So
yes.
I'm just trying to show you how,
corrupted it, yes,
things
yes.
That need
yes.
to be corrected. Every little thing,
yes.
Every little hole need to get patched up
yes.
if you want this thing to be airtight, brother.
Yes. So.
You understand? I come from, I mean, because, in my opinion, we shouldn't have no police canteen. I mean, I don't know if they still have it, but I know they talk about a police canteen.
I think they stop it now.
But
getting the police officers drunk, yes? All that is about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, brother, look here. We shouldn't, as a public, we should want officers sober-minded 24/7.
And let me just say this. I'll never do this to discredit officers, right? But there are many officers who are on duty and pull us up on the side of the bar, drinking beers and going in the bar. Drinking beers on the job. Listen, people, this is what goes on. And you know, you all see it. You all see officers go in these bars and sit down and drink a couple of beers and stuff. Why is they on duty? So imagine when they leave from there, they are tanked up, and they see a law-abiding citizen who just asked them a question, what you pulling me over for?
You understand?
You know what you get off of that, right?
So you see, we need officers. We
yes.
need the best
All these things.
Police officers.
Yes.
You understand where I come from? Sir. I mean, we need individuals who are, and I mean, like educated. Like,
yes.
You see how a judge is in the courtroom. We need people who we see, like, on the level of a judge carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand where I come from. You understand? Because, see, these individuals who walk in the streets, which they have the discretion to take your life, brother.
Yes, and they was getting away with it.
So they was getting away with it
based on the information we've been receiving. They've been getting away with it.
So we're talking about even if police never kill a civilian in this country, but he carry a gun, right? He still have the discretion.
Yeah,
kill someone.
He's a judge, jury, and executioner.
He have a license to kill.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Anybody who's got a license to kill too, you want them to be a sober-minded person.
Yes.
You understand? You want them to be a person who live a life.
Yes.
That is like drama-free.
Yes.
That is. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, because they get incentives. They're supposed to be professionals.
Listen, we need a force, but that's why your boy got to go and talk to the soldiers, because
yes.
The soldiers are supposed to have a mentality.
That's right.
You understand where I come from here? You know what I mean? You understand where I come from?
Yes.
Because Thomas Sankara was betrayed by his own good buddy soldier.
And you see the guy now, see, his best friend, and Thomas Sankara still refused, even though he knows a coup. When he had the power to apprehend his friend, he did not. He said, my friend, who is my friend, wants to do a coup. And he allowed him to kill him. I watched the thing when he come down the step, and he let niggas kill him down the step. His best friend.
And earlier when the gentleman was talking about the other leaders around the world might be shamed, embarrassed by what's going on in Burkina Faso, I think they're more frightened than shamed. These leaders ain't got no shame.
Yes.
I think it's more of a fear that their own people might want to demand from them a right, right. You understand where I'm from? Because the most leaders there is a public demanding from them their rights.
Yes.
You understand? That is the one thing.
Yeah.
The leaders fear the most.
Yes.
An awakened public who is demanding their rights.
Yes.
You understand where I'm from? That's what they fear the most.
And right now.
Go ahead.
Oh, and
I go on to say, man, screw that, ain't there like me. I hardly call the radio nowadays, too. I mean, because it's the same old
yeah.
day in and day. You know what I mean? They call that thing, let's talk about what's in the news. You know what I mean, man?
Yes.
Every day you'll be, because the news is what's new. The old was yesterday, new is today. So you'd be talking about what's new every day.
Yeah.
While you're leaving behind you all type of unresolved issues, brother.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying to you? And see, schools, look here. And see, the people need to start to ask the right questions.
That's
they
right.
They need to start to focus on the right things. You understand?
Yes.
And for decades and decades and decades, do you know what we've been focused on the most and what we had the most passion toward and what we would put down our political differences for over decades? Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm talking about?
I'm listening.
When the Haitian issue come up, PLPF and them get together, COI, DNA, everybody get together. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They unite on that and they passionate.
Yeah, that's why I also...
You understand? Passionate over that.
That's why I don't understand this Dwayne Sands, right? These guys, they really act like hypocrites and believe he's stupid. He was in power, and they was in power. They ain't do nothing to reform the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Now that this government came in, he wants to say they need a internal affairs. Why you do it when your government was in power? Now this one, both of you guys failed of us. You both of you guys got the officers the way they are acting right now. And y'all got the good, decent officers who really deserve honest officers who qualify for the job. Y'all wouldn't give them the position because they're not PLP and they're not FNM. And they knew some of these officers stand with integrity. That's why on the voice note, you would hear when he said, that's a good officer. You know, this guy ain't let us come around here. So these guys was looking to get the shipment, but this officer was present and the next police officer on the western was ready to take the life of that good officer.
Yeah, and the carefreeness with what he said with too was like the nonchalant, like it was like he's getting order breakfast.
Yes, So I can't understand why the commissioner and why the minister of national security is not up in arms. You understand? That's the thing that disturbs me, because they are also involved
in the operation because it comes down to election. So they don't want to upset the Royal Bahamas Police Force now because you know that the officers them vote on us. They're the first to vote. They vote before me and you. The government agencies vote before the Bahamian people. And they look to see how much, if they say if the police force, if they go and they register to vote, they say if the outcome comes and the police force vote for a particular party, majority of police officers vote for PLP, right, in the next general election or the FNM, right? And because they vote for that particular party, that gives an indication on who is going to win the next general election. Yeah, so they don't want the police, the PLP right now don't want the police to be against them because a lot of these corrupt police, they will do everything in their power. They say, man, we ain't going to vote for you guys. We go vote for the FNM because we want things the way we want. And we, you know what I mean, understand? We want to be protected. We don't want you talking about no independent body. We don't want no one come interfere with our offices. We're going to deal with this internally. We got our own police, investigate our police, and then they're going to have no slackness. And that's what's going on in our country.
You understand?
That's what's going on in our country.
And the thing about it, you mentioned how before he was in office, how Wayne Monroe had stated that the police can't investigate the police, and then when he gone, he was singing a whole new opposite tone. I mean, completely 180, complete 180.
It's crazy. It shows you the corruption. It shows you.
And let me ask you this, Scoot.
Go ahead.
If, like, I mean, cause to be honest,
come and call it right now.
I think about it. When I think about it, I believe the force can't be fixed right now, man.
It can't be fixed.
I know we got good officers, Scooch.
It can't be fixed.
Really good officers.
No, it can't be fixed. It can be fixed.
Who would you say right now, Scooch? Who could you say right now would be individual to you trust, right? Could go in there and really like figure out what's going on with the force. Which pastor? Which lawyer? You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? Who do you know, like, publicly? Who do you know, like, you know what I mean? Who out here? Because you might know some personal people. You might know someone through your corner who you could trust. You know, but I'm talking about who you know in the public eye, right? Who you know you could trust to the whole investigation of the police force in this country?
Listen, huh? That's a hard thing to ask me, brother.
You understand?
I'm not saying one really... Set no example. The people who set the example before me was Edmund Moxey, who I know, Carlton Francis, and Sir Randall. These look like were a few men of integrity who stand up for something nowadays. It's
brother, it have to be people like me and you.
Yes, sir, I agree.
Yeah, I say this now.
That's why
it would have to be individuals like you and I.
Yes, that's why when you listen to the president of the African nation, he talked about doctors and private citizens and stuff to be a part of the internal investigation.
Right, thank you.
Right,
private citizens
right. So,
have to get involved.
Right. Right.
Thing.
Juan, you did a
we
good
have
job.
To have private tribunals, yes. and the private tribunals would have some type of power to, like, you know what I mean?
Affiliation to the political parties.
Demanding the information, not just from the police force, but from the politicians.
Yes,
man.
Yes, as well. They need internal investigation in that department as well.
I want to say more, but I can leave just in case.
Okay, thank you. I can take this.
But let me say this to you, Scoot. We need to stop allowing these politicians to talk about their cabinet, and we can't know what they're talking about.
Yes. Thank you.
All right? All of these things need to stop.
Yes.
You understand? Because these are part-time workers who get pension for life after a certain period of time.
35 years.
Absolutely nothing.
Right. Thank you.
You understand? But going in there and passing things, I was passed on to them because they don't sit down and write them things they sell.
Thank you.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So like I said before, we need to have a camera or something in cabinet so we the people could see. Because if the people could see them carrying on in there, listen, I believe the people will carry all of them down by Fox Hill Prison. You understand what I'm saying to you? Any of schools. Look here, enough respect to you, man. You know that kind of way?
Yeah, man. Thanks,
and,
man.
And keep up the good way.
Yeah, man. Enough respect. You too, man. We're going to take these calls real quick. I want to give a shout-out to, again, Marcus Pratt and my boy Elroy Bryce. We can take this quick call, please. Quick call.
That's me.
Go ahead, quick.
Yeah.
We only have a few more minutes, but you can get
I
your...
Know,
go ahead.
I
sorry
know.
For...
Huh?
Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Christopher Butler said, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Shout-out to Christopher Butler, your guest last week.
Yeah, powerful.
You talk about favoritism. You know, this week's Dwight did read one story where it was a husband and wife live over. They ain't called the names, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we understand when it's a minor and stuff like that, they can't call.
Yeah, can't play, call your name.
The perpetrator name to protect the minor. We understand that. But this one was like in a rich area, and normally husband and wife, they know no minor, they adults.
Yes.
And they didn't call the names, but the next paper called the names. Stuff. But the point was, like the ghetto people, they deal with us different than they deal with the people in rich. Sometimes that's how they pay. Sometimes I know it ain't fully that way, but that's how they pay. Then they was making noise this week that, you know, the father that, not the father, stepdaddy, pregnated the child. Everybody concerned. This ain't nothing new. We
no.
know this being happening with mothers. Them cloak it, or they either ashamed and they don't want to talk about it. Either the uncle or someone do something to the child get pregnant.
Because of the daddy. Because of the daddy pregnant get the daughter.
I think they say stepdaddy.
Stepdaddy.
I think what we should be concerned of, or what we could do collectively as a community, maybe that we did, you know, because of shame, we don't really need to know who the little girl is. But like
the
churches, like the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, maybe some of them, when these situations happen, even if it don't make it to the news, adopt them. See, we concerned about, he do that to the girl, where the mother is, what the mother doing all that, but that's that girl now, if she don't abort that child, she have to live with that, and she got to take care of it. So we care so much, right? Let's go into our pockets financially. Let's plan for the girl so she can finish, go to school, learn her education. So when the child, you know, rather than just talking, let's put our money where our motive. You know, the prime minister, listening to him, he just sound evil when he say that we shouldn't be asking no questions and it's just questions. Say we criticizing as a country, right? He also just sound evil when they ask for a commissioner inquiry. You know what this man say it's too expensive. All this corruption on the police force, every day you hear these people and killing people. You understand? Listen, you all mightn't agree with this, what you call it, external forces to come in here. We need to clean up the police force. We get some good officers. They can't talk. They can't do nothing. And if they talk and if they arrest these bad officers, the officers ready to kill them. How anything will work out? How anything will work out when the prime minister appointing these people because of political persuasion? Either it's a big PLP or a big FNM. We need external forces.
Yes.
We need people to come in here and work on the police force, work with the commissioner of police, whatsoever, and do some investigation and clean up the police force. If we can't do it 100%, at least you'll be trying. Because the way it is, it ain't cutting it, man.
It ain't cutting it. Thank you very much. We could take about one more call. We might get in the next one, so if you can make it quickly, we'd like to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller. You're still there? They there? That's it? Okay, I just like to say this to the general public. We are in danger because corruption has corrupted us in the Royal Bahamas Police Force and many government departments. The commissioner, Shante Knowles, what she need to do, she need to give us a list of all the senior cops in the last five years who have been charged for serious offenses, and she need to read them off because in the history of the Bahamas, this is the most senior cops ever get charged with this much or under investigation in the history of the country right now. And that should be alarm for the authorities and the country. So many ASP inspectors, constable are being charged with so much serious offenses. And so it ain't no one bad apple. It's the fact that they're over possession, they're protected. And they know they're protected. Okay? And because of that, every recruit who we bring in will learn from their superior. And once they learn from their superior, it's just like when I was in the gang, all those young guys who we groom, right? When we groom them, the way are we learning to shoot, the way are we learning to load up our gun, the way are we learning to plot on people, the way are we strategize, we teach that to them. And you know what happened? Some of them get worse than us. They become leaders, and then they teach it to somebody else, and they get worse than the foot. Man, that's just crazy, and that's what happened right now in our country. So, to the prime minister, it ain't just what the election saw. The Royal Bahamas Police Force is corrupted to the fullest. You understand? They're being accused. Curtis is in the United States. He has done testified, give evidence against other officers. He is going to spend probably 20, 25 years in prison. We have these other officers now charged with serious offenses before the court. You know, we have defense force involved in illegal activity. You know, if you want to see change, them same good, decent police officers on the force who are decent, you know, these are the set who we need to look at.
who are not politically inclined, but not no political party, and if they are, they have a keen sense of urgency to stand up for integrity and put the party aside and understand that they have to clean up the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and if they have to lock up their brother or sister who is corrupt or investigate them on the force, then they need to go ahead and do that. But we need people who are going to disarm those officers. When we hear they're doing something and they're on duty, we need officers who are in charge of internal affairs or the private partnership who investigate officers just to go and relieve you. Come and take your gun, put handcuffs on you, and carry you to a specific location, investigate you thoroughly. That's what we need. That's what we need. As it speaks right now, both PLP and FNM, you guys are the cause of this corruption in the country when it comes to our Royal Bahamas Police Force. If you guys that go and enforce the protocols of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, if there's any corruption going on, and investigate officers on the force and put them before the court in a timely fashion, we wouldn't be in this position. They don't feel threatened. None of these officers feel threatened. They don't feel threatened by the commissioner. Because they know Miss Knowles. She has been a member of the Royal Bahamas for many years. Think about this. Don't you think she has seen some type of corruption that she has let slip over and over while she was a police officer in those stations? Think about it. So, in a way, she might want to, but she has become accustomed to it as well. But under the scrutiny and the pressure now, she's trying to root it out. But she has to be more and more committed. She has to assemble a team, go after these cops, inform the general public. Let us know what's going on with these officers, and remind our officers that if they're out there doing anything illegal, we will come after you. But if they have an internal investigation for us that is secret, that could go after any police officer on the force who the public reports a bad behavior or corruption, yeah, and immediately, effectively go and disarm them and put them before the court after investigation, then we see a change. And I just want to say this. We are not against the police. All right? But those corrupt police who are drug dealers, who are murderers, who are smugglers, and making us look bad as a country, and making millions and millions of dollars, and damaging our country and our reputation, I hold the leaders in this country responsible, because you guys promote them, you guys turning a blind eye, and some of them are your bodyguards, and some of them are your friends, and they are your party supporters. Okay? You guys are held responsible. So I want to say this again to Mr. Sands from the Free National Movement. Sir, y'all better stop y'all BS. Stop talking fools. Y'all had the chance. Y'all know what we was going through as behaving people when it comes to corrupt cops and abusive cops in this country. And none of you lift a finger in this country. None of you. All y'all do is give a motion, hire your personal commissioner of police to do y'all dirty work. Both parties to do y'all dirty work. And now it's backfire on all of us. And y'all have embarrassed us internationally. The PLP and FNM. And the Royal Bahamas Police Force has embarrassed us as citizens. I thought we guys, let me say this to the guys on the streets. To all the guys in the streets who are doing badness, y'all should retire. Alright? You should retire. Y'all out there robbing people and killing people for little 25, 2 grand, 500 or 5 grand. Y'all out there robbing people for little $100, $200 or a grand. When the politicians out there going in parliament with a couple $1,000 and ended up at 5-10 million. At the end of their 5-year period, we have police officers going into force who are big-time drug dealers. You guys, they're selling half bag for $5. These police are there selling tons and tons and gun. And you get locked up for a drink, right? And they're protected. So let me tell you, y'all should retire. Go be a police officer, or go be a politician, or go be a pastor. Because guess what? It looks like you be wicked in these positions, the church, the police force and politics, and it's right. You could do all the wrong you want to do, and you're protected. And even though you're wrong, it's right.
we got you, and we can protect you. Now look at us. We in some serious, serious problem. We are police officers. We are police officers doing their job, and we are bad police officers who look and do illegal activity, ready to take them out. So who is us as citizens out here on the streets in Arsenal, New Providence? If you see something happening and you want to help somebody or give evidence in court, you better not go. Because if you're in secret, some of these officers is go right back and tell the person, well, if you won't win this case, you got to get rid of that guy. And that's what's going on in our country. PLB and FNM, even though you might win the next election, you guys are the cause of the corruption on the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Defense Force. Because you guys promote these officers without putting no internal affairs to investigate corrupt officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So I hope you enjoyed the show tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9. To all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. Again, I give a shout out to my... Again, my give a good shout out to my good friend Elroy Bryce and Mr. Marcus Pratt. And I'm your host, Valentino Braun, and I speak for what's right. I'm not afraid to talk and expose what's going on in our country, because so many people are being damaged from the corruption in this country. And it's because our political leaders in this country, the PLP and FNM, have messed the Royal Bahamas Police Force up because of slackness and favor, which some of them did not deserve. And all the good, decent officers and the Defense Force and Royal Bahamas Police Force who have denied promotion because they're not PLP or FNM, or they do not, people, the parties to be do not like them and not give them a chance. And these same officers could be the ones who could lead us in the 21st century as with integrity, honesty, you know. So I'm your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the NSC that will mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I hope you enjoy the show. Drive safe and enjoy your weekend. See you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke, Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.